We gather here on this Epiphany Sunday morning, seeking to encounter the Christ child. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Mark. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this day on Epiphany Sunday morning. Just as the Magi, the wise men, came seeking the birth of a new king, we too come seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop that off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching us online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I do want to remind you that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can find our bulletin for our worship service and use that as a resource for this hour of worship and for ministries coming up. I also encourage you, if you're a first-time viewer, you can email me this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. I do want to remind our church family here gathered with us today that immediately following worship service today, we are having a pizza and salad lunch right upstairs in the fellowship hall, so you don't have to rush out in this cold weather. You can stay here for a little bit longer, enjoy a time of lunch, and then we are going to be taking down some of the beautiful Christmas decorations that have been adorning not just the sanctuary, but our entire church building during this Advent and during this Christmas season. But if you can stay and help with this opportunity, we'll enjoy that time of fellowship together immediately following worship today. If you notice also, if you look at the things coming up in the life of our church for this week, we have lots of things coming up. I want to remind those that have been participating in our Bible study or Advent study on the way to Bethlehem that this Monday, tomorrow at 2 p.m., I will be wrapping up that study on Facebook Live at 2. We'll be looking at the location of Persia, a place of return. And the reason, obviously, is because that's where many scholars believe the Magi, the wise men, came from. So it goes along with our sermon today, our focus of Epiphany, and Epiphany is officially tomorrow. We look at this Sunday as Epiphany Sunday, the closest to January 6th. So tomorrow afternoon is when we wrap up that study. Looking at Tuesday, we have a busy day of ministry. Of course, we've got Senior Adult Breakfast, right? Carver's at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Golden Ears Senior Center doing our bingo ministry over there at 1:30 on Tuesday. If you want to help more, whoever wants to help, and speak to Sandy French, let her know that you're coming to help out over there. And then we'll be starting our Winter Bible Study Tuesday night online. I'll be talking a little bit more about that a little bit later in worship today. Then on Wednesday, our Circle of Friends group, our group that goes out and visits some of our Homebound members, will be meeting and going out to visit at 1:45 on Wednesday. So if you want to participate with that group, you just meet upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom, and then they adjourn from there and go out and meet some of our Homebound members. And of course, choir rehearsal Wednesday night. That'll be our worship choir at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Other than that, just a reminder, I talked about it last week, that during the month of January, we're collecting items for the Burlington Animal Services. The things that we need are listed in your bulletin today. They're also in your January newsletter. So pick up some of those items, bring those by, and drop them off in the collection containers around the church during the month of January. But we gather here today to sing praise to Jesus, our Heavenly King, this morning. Let's worship Him this morning.
Our opening hymn this morning is We Three Kings, but we're not going to sing it exactly like you know it today. We're going to shorten it up a little bit. We'll be here till 1 o'clock if we sing it like it's written. So we're going to do verse 1 in the chorus, then we're going to do verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, chorus, verse 5, chorus. But it'll be on the screens behind me. Let's stand, let's worship together. Yeah. seated.
Our opening scripture reading this morning is Psalm 72, reading verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Thousands of years before Jesus came, the words proclaimed that some would come from far off to seek the new king, presenting him gifts. And we know that that came true. Let us go to the one who they came to seek. Let us pray this morning. Gracious God, we come into your presence with joy and praise this morning, grateful for the gift of Christ Jesus in our lives. As we celebrate this gift in our service of worship, fill our hearts with Christmas joy and our spirits with the gift of your Holy Spirit. We lift this prayer with joy and gratitude to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is What Child Is This? And we'll sing the first and last stanza. Miss Debbie.
Amen.
As I mentioned during the opening announcement time, during these cold winter months of January and February, I'll be leading an online winter Bible study on Facebook Live on the Gospel of John. Now, this study will take place at 6 p.m. on Tuesday nights, starting this week, actually starting in 2 days, and we'll run the next 6 consecutive Tuesday nights during the months of January and February. Now, I will be leaning on a resource by Professor Amy Jill Levine, a New Testament and Jewish scholar, who has authored a book titled The Gospel of John. This is what it looks like. It's a great book. And I will tell you, it's a deep read. There's a lot of information in there, a lot of material. But as I challenged you a couple weeks ago, we should always have a book open. We should always be stretching our minds. And this book will stretch your mind. So I encourage you to get it. And we've used her studies in the past in some of our looks at specifically the witnesses at the cross and the Lord's Prayer. Now, I would encourage you, if you have a chance to purchase the book, you can get it on Amazon or get it on Cokesbury, and they'll get it to you really quickly. The reading guide for each study, the guide that we'll be looking over the next 6 weeks, has already been posted online on the website. It's also will be emailed out to you tomorrow, and the session one study guide. And those study guides will be placed on the website as well each consecutive week. But I encourage you, if you can, join me on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock if that works in your schedule, because as these online studies go, there's a comment section on Facebook Live where you can kind of facilitate some discussion. It always is more encouraging to see how many people are on there as I'm leading this study online. If you can't watch it at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, of course, you can always watch it at a later date on our Facebook page. But again, 6 o'clock on Tuesday night when it's going to be live on Facebook Live. So this next week, on Tuesday of this week, we'll be looking at the opening prologue in John, which is chapter 1, and the wedding at Cana, which is found in John chapter 2. All you really need is your Bible. That's all that's required. So if you want to do some advanced reading, I encourage you to read John chapter 1 and John chapter 2 in advance of Tuesday night. Now, at this time, I'll call on Deacon John Hines for our offertory prayer.
May we pray. Almighty God, as the dawn breaks on a new year, we give thanks for all we hold dear, our health, our family, and friends. Help us to release all our grudges, our anger, and pain, for these are nothing but binding chains. Let us live each day in the most loving ways, the God-conscious ways. We come before you today with thankful hearts, recognizing that every perfect gift comes from you. Today we return a portion of what you've given us, trusting that you will provide for all our needs. Bless these offerings and guide us in using them wisely for the work of your kingdom. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gay, and thank you, Bert, for our special music today. If you would, go with me in prayer once again before we encounter God's word this morning. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we yearn for your grace to fill our lives. We yearn to accept your love so fully that our hearts might overflow with love for your world. Gift us, not just with your mercy and your grace, but with an openness and confidence to receive your gifts. Shine through our hearts, our lives, and our actions that others may find in us generous friends of grace and love. May our prayers and our actions bring your light and love to this world in 2025. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Epiphany Sunday morning. And prior to starting this sermon this morning, I know that many of your prayers have been lifted for our country over the last couple days, seeing the things that have taken place, not just in New Orleans, but in Las Vegas and even across this world. We pray for our country. We pray for peaceful action. We pray for our country's leaders. We pray for the families that have been so devastated by the actions that have been taken. So we continue to pray because we are a praying people, and our God is a God who hears our prayers. And so we know that this morning. Now, as I shared just a few moments ago, Epiphany officially takes place tomorrow. Epiphany is always January 6th. And in the last, I guess you would say, 60 or 70 years, Epiphany has been lost in the midst of the celebration of Christmas. It's kind of been the tag on in the celebration of Christmas. But Epiphany is always 12 days after Christmas. And so when you hear the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, did you realize that the 12 days are not talking about the 12 days leading up to Christmas? It actually starts with Christmas Day, and it's the 12 days after Christmas. So that's actually when we're supposed to celebrate Christmas, is the 12 days after. And the 12th day is Epiphany Sunday. And that's, of course, the day we recognize the arrival of the Magi, the wise men, to seeing the young boy, Jesus. Now, if you remember on the first Sunday of Advent this year, and pretty much every year, I remind you that if you are able, if you still have your nativity scenes out at the very beginning, and you have this capability, that to make it biblically correct, you should take your wise men out, your three kings, your magi that are there. I know we all like to put it out in a beautiful display so anybody that comes to your house, but to make it biblically correct, they should not be there. They should not be in the manger scene because the wise men never came to the manger scene. That is incorrect. And I will tell you, I have been on a journey to find a politically, biblically correct nativity scene. They do not exist. I promise you, even Amazon doesn't have it. If Amazon doesn't have it, it does not exist. So, I told you on the first Sunday of Advent, when you're putting your nativity scene out in your house, to take the wise men out and put them some distance far away in your house, nowhere close to the nativity scene. And when people come in and look and say, why are they sitting over there? Because that's where they were. They're a long ways away from the nativity scene, from the manger, and they are traveling. And so during the Advent season, you should move them just a little bit closer, just a little bit closer, and a little bit closer. And then on Epiphany Sunday, which is tomorrow, then you should move them close to where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus is. Notice I didn't say baby Jesus. So even our display up here is not correct. And then you should remove the shepherds, and you should remove the manger scene, and you should remove the angel as well, because they weren't there either. You know, I get on my soapbox every once in a while when it comes to being biblically correct. But this morning we're going to talk a little bit about those wise men. I think I've shared with you before, but if you have not had the opportunity during this season, and especially during Epiphany, to look back, go back and read O. Henry's story, The Gift of the Magi. I know I've talked about this story before. I know years back, because I did, I had to read this, that some of the high school English classes had to read this short story by O. Henry. It's a poignant tale, and it talks about the importance or the significance of what the Magi, or who the Magi, are all about. And if you haven't had the opportunity to read it, you can find it online. You can purchase it if you want to go that route. But let me just share a synopsis of this short story with you. The story is about a young married couple who are very much in love. Christmas is approaching, and neither of one have enough money to buy the other a Christmas gift. Now, each one of those in the couple does have one prized possession that they hold dear to themselves, something that they treasure very much. The wife, Della, has beautiful waist-length long hair. Jim, the husband, has a beautiful gold pocket watch that belonged to his grandfather. So in their love for each other, in her love for her husband Jim, Della goes to a wig maker and sells her hair to buy for Jim a beautiful, extravagant gold chain to attach to his watch. Well, Jim, at the same time, in the meantime, goes and sells his watch in order to buy Della a beautiful set of combs and hairbrushes for her to use on her hair. Each one, out of their love for the other, sacrifices the one thing that they prize the most for each other. Now, it's a beautiful story of sacrifice. It's a beautiful story of giving. But here is the last paragraph in the story by O. Henry. It says this: "The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all of those who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the wisest. Everywhere they are the wisest. They are the Magi." So on this Epiphany Sunday morning, let us look at those two important things that go along with not just the story by O. Henry, but the story that we read in Scripture about these Magi, the wise men. Let's look at wisdom and the giving of gifts as we look at the wise men and the invention of the Christmas present. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 this morning. I know it says Matthew 12, 1 through 12 up there. That's my mistake. I was doing some work on the PowerPoint earlier this morning, and I made that quick blunder. So it's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 this day. And while we have spent our entire season of Advent and Christmas in the Gospel of Luke, we need to remember that the Gospel of Luke does not share or does not have the story of the wise men. It's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me, reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So let us go ahead and get the answer out of the way. Who invented the Christmas present? The answer is the Magi, the wise men. No doubt from your earliest recollection of the Christmas story, you recall hearing of the wise men who came to visit the newborn Christ child. Each of us has sung many times the carols that tell their story. We have sung them this morning in worship today. We can visualize them in our minds, riding their camels through their desert sands, dressed in their colorful royal robes. But are the images in our minds correct? Who were these wise men from the east? What do we really know about them? The answer is really very little. We do not know who they were. We do not know where they came from. We can only surmise as to how they knew to follow this star in the sky. We do not even know how many there were. They seem to come out of nowhere, pay their respects to this Christ child, not a baby, a child, and then they disappear. Matthew's gospel is the only record of their journey that we have. The word translated wise men is the word magi, which referred to a group of scholars who studied the movement of the stars. God gave them a special sign, a miraculous star that announced the birth of a new king. The star that they saw pointed them towards Jerusalem and then led them to Bethlehem. Now, as for the number of wise men that traveled with them, we do not even know this. The number 3 is often associated with the wise men because of the 3 gifts that were presented to Jesus and his parents. However, the scripture is actually silent in the number that traveled. I tend to believe that there was a lot more than 3 that showed up, because when they arrived to Jerusalem, it caused a stirring in the city. And let's not forget, Jerusalem was not the little town of Elon. It was the large town of Jerusalem. And when the wise men showed up and they said, "We want to speak to King Herod," it caused a stir. 3 individual wise men would not have done this. So I tend to believe there was a lot more than 3. They were Gentiles who had come to see the King of the Jews. They were not Jewish by faith. And finally, as for their time of arrival, while the traditional nativity ushers them in with the shepherds at the manger scene, the Gospel of Matthew clearly says that Jesus was in a house, not a manger, when they arrived. So the infant or the young boy Jesus would have been at least some weeks old to a few years old when they arrived. Now, while we're not given a great deal of information about these individuals, we can determine why they were called wise, simply understanding what they did and how they gave based on the Gospel of Matthew's story. And these are the things I think we can learn from and who we can learn to be in this year of 2025. So the first thing that the wise men did is they followed God's divine leading. While we do not specifically know how they learned of the Messiah, what we do know is that they believed God would lead them to a new king. When they saw the star, they knew that this symbolized the birth of a new king. God led them to Jesus through the star. The wise men made themselves available, and God used them. Even though they weren't believers, they were used by God's divine leading. This is the first part of gift giving. We must make ourselves available. Are you sensitive to God's leading this time of year? We get a lot really sensitive during this Christmas season, but the Christmas season is now past. Are you sensitive to God's leading now? The truly wise person is the one who follows the leading of God. And we're not talking about following a roadmap here. The wise men were simply given a star. They followed the light that they had been given, and God honored them for it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, partially two of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and the Lord will direct your path." When we make ourselves available, God will lead us. When we trust in Him, He will guide us. The wise men did, and He led them. We should too. But it doesn't stop there. Second, the wise men responded in faith. The wise men did not know where they were being led. They did not know where they were going when they climbed on their camels. We always assume that. We don't know that for a fact. But when they climbed on their camels, they had no idea where this journey was taking them. But they responded in faith and they followed. Now we have to remember, they most likely traveled a very long way. We know they came from the east, from the Old Testament prophecy, but we don't know exactly where. Many biblical scholars believe they came from Persia, but we're not 100% sure. But they came from, and they traveled outside of their normal comfort zone. Yet they responded in faith. Like Abraham, these wise men went out not knowing where they were going. Are we willing to do the same thing this new year? Are we ready to respond in faith wherever God may be preparing us to go? William Carey traveled to India, and he labored for 7 years before he had his first convert to Christianity. David Livingstone pioneered the gospel throughout Africa many years before he had his first convert. Adoniram Judson gave up a life of ease to minister in the country of Myanmar. Have we used the opportunities that we have had to respond in faith in the past, and are you ready to respond in the future? Have we been wise men so far, or have we been foolish men? Are we willing and ready to be wise in 2025? Third, the wise men, or the wisdom of the wise men, was unique. There is a real difference between book smarts and knowledge and wisdom. Some of the smartest individuals that the world has ever seen would not be seen as wise in God's eyes. Worldly wisdom and godly wisdom are not the same thing. In those days, many believed that earthly riches and power were signs of broad knowledge or wisdom. In that case, if you simply go by that system and that idea alone, King Herod, the one that the wise men actually went to find out what direction they should keep going on, in that case, King Herod would have been seen as wise by the world's standards. And we know by his actions and by his response to the wise men coming and by other actions based on history, he was far from a wise individual. It was godly wisdom that led the wise men to the Christ child. God's wisdom is always superior to earthly wisdom. And fourth, finally, the wisdom of the wise men led them to worship the new king and present him gifts. Let me reread verses 10 and 11 once again. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Now, the wise men entered the house. They saw the child and they worshiped him. They had journeyed numerous miles, numerous days, following a star sent by God in faith. And the very first thing that they did was worship Jesus. They didn't go in, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, can I go to the restroom?" Or, "Hey, do you have a drink of water?" The very first thing they did was they worshiped Jesus. What does that say about being led by God? What does that say about individuals, we're not sure how many, being led by God, who by all circumstances were not Jewish followers, and they were driven to worship Jesus? That's powerful. So many people today say, "Show me, and then I'll believe." Yet the wise men believed without seeing. If they didn't, they wouldn't have traveled the hundreds or thousands of miles. And they were blessed because of their faithfulness. Because when they saw Jesus, they were driven to worship him. But not just worship, but they gave of what they had. The image that we have in our minds of the wise men is each of them, usually three, presenting small containers of gifts similar to what we have on our altar table this morning. However, the truth is that we do not know how much gold, how much incense or frankincense or myrrh was left for Jesus and the family. We don't know the answer to this. Each gift is commonly attributed to an important aspect of Jesus' identity. The gold represents his heavenly royalty. The frankincense or incense represents his ministry here on earth. The myrrh signifying his death on the cross and our redemption that's found in him. Many scholars believe that the gifts that the Magi, the wise men, brought them actually funded Joseph and Mary and Jesus' travels to Egypt as they had to escape the wrath of King Herod. They used the gifts that they were given. They were a poor family, and they used their gifts to travel to Egypt and to travel back home following their escape. I like to see the gifts of the wise men giving of what they had. We don't know if they came with these gifts ready to give. We don't know that. We assume they did, but we don't know that. But what I do know is this. They encountered Jesus, the Christ child, the new king. They worshiped him. And after they worshiped, they were led to give of what they had. When a person has truly come to know Jesus, they encounter Jesus, then the outpouring of gifts will follow. God's gift to us is his son, and it requires a gift from us as well. First, your heart, and then your life. We give out of the gifts that he has blessed us with. Not just monetary and the resources that we have, but our very lives. God wants every gift that we can give to him. So my question to you this year in 2025 is, what gifts are you ready to bring to the Christ child this year? What are you ready to give him in this new year? What are you ready to give out of that you have? And I'm not talking about what you're dropping in the offering plate. I'm talking about, what do you have? What did God bless you with that you can give to him to further his kingdom? That's the power of the wise men. Because of what they gave, the family was able to travel and to go and to escape. What are you able to give this year to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ? We're challenged with that. And if it's just dropping something in the offering plate on Sunday morning, that's the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. What are you ready to give? In closing this morning, Epiphany signifies the end of the Christmas season. However, we are entering what is called Epiphany Tide, We are in the season of remembering God being revealed to us. God was revealed to the wise men. How is God revealing himself to you this season? Don't lose the significance of this story of the wise men until next Epiphany, next Christmas. May the challenge that the wise men undertook be a calling for each of us to follow God's leading, to respond in faith, to embrace the uniqueness of God's wisdom as we worship and we bring our gifts to our God in this new year. Who knows where that journey might take us? I don't know it. And guess what? You don't know it either. But guess who does? The Christ child does. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for faithfulness and wisdom by the wise men, by the magi. And we don't know the numbers, but what we do know is this. They moved and they traveled in faithfulness. And when they encountered you, they worshiped and they gave of what they had. What a powerful, powerful statement of who we're called to do and who we're called to be in this new year. May we do the same. May we worship you and may we give of what we have as we seek to further your kingdom in this world. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn this morning, the very first thing that we can do is we can embrace him as our king, as we can embrace the Christ child as our own. If you're ready to make that decision this morning, I'll be down front as we sing our closing hymn. But the second thing we can do is this, we can make that commitment to follow God's leading. If you're ready to make that commitment to follow him, the altar's open. Lay everything you have on the altar this morning. If you're ready to join a church family, a church body that seeks to honor him through our ministry, through our actions, through following him, maybe First Baptist Church of Elon is that place for you. I'll be down front as well. Let me share what First Baptist Elon is all about and come join our church family. Whatever you are, maybe you're struggling as you enter this new year. I'll pray with you as well. Our deacons will as well. Whatever you need to make commitment this new year, make it today. Let's start 2025 on a good note, just as the wise men did. Let's stand and sing this morning. Service today. First, I'm going to say a blessing upon the meal that's going to take place upstairs. So I'm going to close with a prayer. And then as you go out in this world today, go out seeking him, encountering him, and sharing his love with those you encounter. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for our time of worship. And now as we transition into time of fellowship around the table, we just ask special blessings upon the food. And we enjoy this time of fellowship in the sanctuary, but we also enjoy the fellowship around the table. Thank you for the food you provided for us today. In God's name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go, know that as you leave this morning, we hope you'll travel upstairs and help us out with decorations down here as well. Go in peace.